Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We stand in awe of how good you are. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for giving us your life. Thank you for living in us. Thank you for making us new creatures. Thank you for loving us with an unconditional love. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Take us to that place we've not yet seen, but in eternity past, you made available for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Peter wrote, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, and he will exalt you. The church has taught us that humbling ourselves means to say that I can do nothing. I am a lowly person. I am a sinner. That's not what God is talking about. When he says humble yourself, he's saying agree with what I see. Agree with what I say about you. And I say you are no longer a sinner. I say I make you a saint. I say you are no longer without me. I will be with you forever. I am in you forever. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you on your own. Begin to see yourself the way I see you. That is new covenant biblical humility. To agree with and to speak what God says about us. In the Gospels. Do you know that all of the Gospels, except for the last two chapters of each of the Gospels, it's Old Covenant. Jesus was speaking to Old Covenant people. In what sense? People that were not born again. They did not have the Spirit living in them. God had to come to touch them. God had to come upon them. And then he would leave. Because he could not live inside of them. Because they were not a holy vessel. Until we were born again. God could not live in us. So Jesus is speaking to Old Covenant people. In the Gospels, we're going to relate to one of four people. We're going to relate to the Pharisees. I know you're saying, no way. No way am I relating to a Pharisee. Because they were self-centered, right? They lived by the letter of the law, right? They were very strict, right? I don't relate to the Pharisee. Then there's the sick people. Sometimes we relate to the sick people in the Gospels. Then there's the disciples. And sometimes we relate to the disciples. But none of them were born again. None of them had the Spirit in them. The only one we can relate to in the Gospels is Jesus Christ. He walked with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. He is our example. It's not the sick people. It's not the disciples. It's Jesus Christ. He's our example. Because now he's come to live in us. He made this statement in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But what happens in the church today? We are still praying. God, we're seeking your kingdom. We're seeking your righteousness. We want you to come and add these things to us. That's an Old Testament prayer. Remember, he was speaking to Old Covenant people. He was speaking to those who were not born again. Now that we are born again, we have his kingdom. His kingdom is within us. We no longer need to seek his kingdom. We have his kingdom. Hallelujah. There are still people in the church today trying to be righteous, trying to live by their own righteous standards, still trying to get God to be righteous to them. That's an old covenant prayer. New covenant. Jesus is righteous, correct? He made us to be righteous. The new spirit person living inside of your body has been made to be righteous, has been made to be holy. What Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 has been fulfilled in every born again believer. The problem is, we're not taught that. But it's the truth. And then what does he say? In all these things that you need, all the things you're constantly seeking me for, and praying for, and begging me for, and asking me for, all these things will be added to you. Do you know what that means? That means you don't have to go after them. That means, because you're a kingdom person, because the kingdom of heaven is in you, all the needs of your life will just get met as you live for Jesus, as you release his life. Bible says in Philippians, all of your need. It does not say needs. All of your need. That's every need you will ever have. All of your born again life has already been met according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus? Living in you. Understand something, church. You walk in the supernatural release from heaven of all your needs being met. Maybe you're saying, I don't feel like it. It seems like there are so many things unmet in my life. How do you experience it? Only believe. We don't work for it. You didn't get saved and have eternal life by working for it. We don't live and experience all the blessings of God by working for it. We only believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You no longer need to seek his kingdom. You have his kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in you and will be in you. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? In you. He's become one with your spirit. You have been eternally united together. Righteousness is yours. Peace is yours. Joy is yours. How often? Whenever you want it, it's in you. in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. We need to learn not to beg God to come to do, not to pull down from heaven. We need to learn to release what is in us. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. Out of your spirit will flow the Holy Ghost. We need to learn how to release what is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see this is the glorious gospel we've been given? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Wow. Look at the scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. Hee-haw. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. When? He has already blessed us. What is the church doing? Oh, Father, please bless me. Oh, Father, please come and bless me. Jesus, I need you to bless me. What does the scripture say? He has already blessed you. With what? With every. Say every. Okay, how many does that leave out? How many blessings does every leave out? It doesn't leave any out. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where is Christ? Where is he? He's in you. He's also seated at the right hand of the Father. This is going to help you. This is you. Okay. You receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You get a brand new spirit. And the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. This is Christ. Now, whatever experience Jesus Christ has had becomes your experience. Where are you? Where are you? You're in Him. You are in Him. That means all that He is, now you have become. That means, as the Father looks at Jesus, He sees you through Jesus. He no longer sees you according to the flesh. He no longer sees you according to your sin. He sees you the same as He sees Jesus. Wherever this Bible goes, where does the paper go? In a couple more days, this Bible is going to go back to the United States. Where's the paper going to go? It's going to go to the United States. Why? Because the paper is in the Bible. Hey! How much greater do you think it is when the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead takes you, the new spiritual woman that He made you to be, and He puts you. You don't do this. You don't do it by your works. He puts you in Christ. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost seals it. So that no man No devil can ever take you out. No man, no devil can ever take you out. The Holy Ghost places his seal. The power of the Most High God seals you inside Jesus. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't you be talking bad about yourself. Because you become a new creation. We look at ourselves, and the church emphasizes who we used to be. The sinner that we used to be. And we are, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Not anymore. Once you got saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. The Bible says you're now a saint. You are a son of God who will occasionally sin. But you are no longer a sinner. God doesn't see you that way. He sees you through the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When he's looking at all of us right now. And he sees you as beautiful as Jesus. He sees your spirit, the real you on the inside. And he sees you beautiful, just like Jesus. He sees you pure, just like Jesus. But the church keeps telling us, you mess up. Oh, well, you're a lousy sinner. You can never be a lousy sinner again. You have been put in Jesus Christ. You've been made a brand new creation. You had to be born in heaven. And how fast did it happen? He said, Jesus, come save me. That fast. Your spirit on the inside that was dead in sin and dead in trespass. That moment had the experience of having died on the cross with Jesus. And the experience of God making you a brand new person in heaven and putting you in this body. It happened that fast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The problem is our mind still thinks the thoughts of the old sinner. That's why the Bible says now we've got to renew our mind to the truth of what God says about us and who he made us to be. And that's why we are here, to give you a jump start with truth as to who he made you to be, so that you can begin walking in who he made you to be. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, be holy because he is holy. Religion says, you're not acting holy. You're not acting holy. Your actions are not holy. God made you holy. He made you holy because you are in Jesus. So now, even though we may not always act holy, the real you is holy. The real spirit woman inside of you is holy. Because God did that for you. You didn't save yourself and get eternal life, right? Did you work for it? Nobody works for it. The same way. We don't work to be holy. We don't work to be righteous. He declares us holy because he is holy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So instead of going around saying, oh man, you know, I'm just such a sinner. I do so many things wrong.
Oh,
I can't even think a holy thought. Instead of doing that, because that's not your nature now. You have the very nature of God. You walk like this. You know those sinful thoughts I'm having? I want to remind you, devil. Those sinful thoughts are coming from somebody who's dead. That person has been crucified with Christ. That's not the real me. The real me, devil. I know who the real me is. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You're under my feet, devil. I have the authority of the name of Jesus over you, devil. It's not dependent upon me being good. It's dependent upon Jesus being good. It's not dependent upon me acting holy. It's dependent upon Jesus, the Holy One, is living in me. Hallelujah. It's not dependent upon me acting righteous. It's dependent upon the truth. I have been declared righteous by Jesus the King. Hallelujah. So devil, take those lies somewhere else. That person is dead. Those thoughts are coming from a dead person. Yeah! That's the truth. Jesus said, you will know that truth. You will understand that truth. And you're going to get free. You're going to get free. You're going to get free. Do you know? We're always praying for the joy of the Lord. Oh, we're praying for the love of God. We're praying for the peace. We're praying for patience. We're praying for kindness. We're praying to be good. Right? We're praying to have self-control, right? Do you know that's all in the Holy Ghost? And where is the Holy Ghost? In you. One with your spirit. That means right now, in your spirit, you have all the love you could ever imagine. Right now, in your spirit, you have all the joy you could ever handle. Right now, in your spirit, you've got peace that will settle any storm, that will stop any storm. It's right now. We don't need God to come and do it. He's living in us. In our spirit. You see, we just need to learn how to release. Release our spirit. When we release our spirit, the Holy Ghost, because we're one, my spirit and him are one. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. All you have to do is believe that what I'm telling you, it's Bible. It's true. It's already happened. That in your spirit right now is the same anointing as Jesus. Yeah.
Amen.
You have days you feel depression coming on, right? Oh, you feel that heaviness coming on. Somebody brings you bad news. And you feel the weight of that. Trying to push you down, right? And what do? Oh God. Oh God, you gotta help me. Take this off of me. You know what he's saying? He's looking at you through Jesus. What did Jesus do in the storm? He said, oh Father, please come and help us. He stood up and said, shut up. Shut up. Why do we think it's different for us? Where are you?
In Jesus.
You are in Jesus. Do you know, if you believe that truth, Then when the devil and demons come at you, who are they going to see? They're going to see Jesus! Yeah! If you don't believe that truth, what are they going to see? Don't stick your head out. Keep your head in Christ. Don't you peek out. Don't peek out. You stay in there. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, I'm going to read it. You got to see this. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, were you raised with Christ? Where are you? Okay, when Jesus was raised, where were you? You were raised with Christ. Okay. When he went to heaven, where were you? You went with him. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, where were you? Where? So right now, you are seated with Christ in heaven, far above all principalities and powers and rulers. And you are also here with Christ in you. You're both places. Amazing. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, you can't be in two places at once? Wrong. That's wrong. You are right now in two places at once. You are here and you are there. This is so good. It's so good. All right, look at this. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Just believe. You could go out of here today, change the world. Jesus changed the world with 12 people. Jesus, he can change this whole area just through you. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds not on the old sinful person, not on the deeds he used to do, she used to do. Set your mind on things above. You are seated with Jesus right now in heaven. The devils know that. They don't want you to know that, because they're afraid. When you find out that truth, they know that you will know. They are under you. You are over them. They are under you. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. The old you died. Was crucified with Christ, right? Okay, now watch what he says. And your life now, your new life in the Spirit, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Where are you?
I'm hidden.
You are hidden in Christ. As long as you keep your faith in that truth, that the Holy Ghost has put you in Christ, and you are now hidden, the devil is going to have a hard time finding you. A real hard time. You know how he finds us? We stick our head out. Oh, I've got to be more holy. Oh, I need to be more righteous. Oh, I'm not doing enough for God. Oh, there's so much sin in my life. Oh, you stick your head out. It says in Hebrews that where God is bringing us, the fullness of the life of Jesus, that in that place we will have no more consciousness of sin. You won't even think about sin. You will be walking in such purity of the Holy Ghost that all of your consciousness, all of your awareness is on the presence of the glory of God in you and all around you. Right now, we have so much conscious awareness of how the things we do wrong, of the sins still in our life, of the issues, the problems, the things that are wrong. He is bringing you to a place. Holy Spirit in you is working to bring us to a place where we no longer see sin. We only see His glory. Can you imagine? Please imagine. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. The Word of God says that God's glory will cover the earth. You know what most people think? They think God is going to descend out of heaven and just spread His glory all around. Not true. He's put His glory in you. He's put His glory in you. He's put His glory in you. As you go to the streets, as you go to needy people, you are going to release the glory of God. You will release the glory of God. As more and more believers release the glory of God. You see what I'm saying? We're releasing. We're not getting God to come to put it on us. It's in us. We're releasing the glory of God. As you do that, that's how the glory is going to cover the earth. His plan is to do it all through us. Through all of you. His plan is to do it through you. That's His plan. And there's no requirements for you to begin to step into that. We are all a work in process. Our mind is being renewed. Our mind, will, and emotions is in the process of being saved. Our spirit is fully saved. Our spirit is fully God. Our spirit is filled with God. We have everything we need in our spirit right now. People say, oh, I just got to get it from here to here. Wrong! It's already here in your spirit. You already have the mind of Christ. We've got to get it from our spirit to our mind. Our minds are still messed up. Much wrong theology. Much wrong doctrine. When we learn to release, then He comes from within us. He helps us to get our mind renewed and transformed. It says in Romans 8, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will come from within us and give life to your mortal body. He comes from within and flows through your mortal body and releases resurrection life. We don't need to beg God to come. He's already come. He's living in us. And now we learn to release. How many times I may get up in the morning, some kind of sickness, some kind of pain in my body. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for releasing the life of Jesus into my mortal frame right now. No, the first few times I said that, I wasn't really convinced that was the truth. Here's the deal. If he said it, I believe it. That settles it. He said it. He said he would fill my mortal frame. I believe it. That settles it. You know what I saw happening? He would do it. And I watched the pain go right out of my body. Resurrection life destroys death. What's the answer to death? Resurrection. Right?
Amen.
Resurrection life is in you. It's the answer to every sickness, disease, everything that can come against you. And you've got it. You've already got it. Hallelujah. You are hidden in Christ. Every promise of God is contingent upon one thing. Do you believe? Where are you?
Inside.
Okay. The Word of God says that. Most believers, they come out, I'm gonna live a godly life. I'm gonna be a good Christian. Now, all the demons are watching you. All the demons see you. And they're going to throw all hell against you. God never said, the Word of God never says try to be a good Christian. It says die. Die. What happened to you? You were crucified with Christ. And now there's a new you. And you need to speak out of that new you. Keep yourself hidden. In World War II, there were guys that drove around in tanks. They drove in tanks. Inside this armored vehicle. And the enemy had guns pointed at the tank. If they shot at the tank, the bullets bing, bounce off. Bounce off. Bounce off. They could not get the guy on the inside. But if it got up, lifted the top to see what was going on. That's what we as believers do. We come out and check it out. What's happening now? What's going on now? How am I going to handle this sin? What am I going to do? Get yourself back hidden in Christ. Stay under the seal of the Holy Ghost. Stay under the anointing of the Most High God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Yeah, so here comes the devil. He's coming looking for you. Where is she? Ah, it's Jesus. That's where he wants us to go. And all of us can experience that today. Because everything we get by faith. We just believe. Disciples said, Jesus, we want to do this stuff you're doing. What did he say? Alright, get your sin out of your lives. Okay, make yourself holy. Go fast and pray for 3 weeks. Okay, cry out to God for about a month. Okay, you go do that. Okay, and then maybe you can start to do what I do. He said, you want to do this? Only believe. That this is for you too. We have bought the lie of the devil. That doing the works of Jesus is only for the great mighty men of God. No. These signs will follow believers. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And then you can lead others to show them. There is so much stress in the lives of Christians. There are so many nervous and upset Christians. You know, almost 400 times in Scripture, it says, do not fear, do not worry. Why so many times does God say that? Because He knows we will. Because He knows the devil and the world is going to come at us to get us to worry. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? Oh my gosh. So what do? We go to bed at night, and all night long we think about how we're going to handle the problem. Right? Isn't that what we do? Suppose you have a confrontation with someone tomorrow. You don't want to meet with them because you know there's going to be a confrontation. So tonight, you lay in bed and you think about what you're going to say. You toss and you turn. Oh God, I need you. I don't know what to do. And you think about the words that you're going to say. You got your head stuck out. Do you know? Many people don't know how to meditate on the Word of God. They ask me, I tell them, you need to spend time, meditate on the Word. I don't know how to meditate. I say, have you ever tossed and turned all night long worrying about something? They say, oh yes. Then you know how to meditate. Take the Word of God, toss it around in your mind, between you and the Holy Spirit. Talk about it, ask questions about it, think about it, over and over and over and over, until the truth renews your mind. All of us know how to meditate. If you're not, if you're worrying, it's double. Get back hidden in Christ. Fully trusting in Him and in Him alone. Amen. Wow. I mean, what we have been given is so phenomenal. It is so awesome. I'm gonna shoot something at you. Because this is all over the church. Let me find a scripture. Okay, you know what? I can't give it to you. Hey, yeah. This is
what happened.
I can't do it. You know, Holy Spirit does that with me. You know, I'm thinking there's something I need to release. And if I don't know that truth in the purest sense, if there's going to be any of me on that truth, He doesn't let me release it. That's strange. So I know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to continue to get more revelation on that. You know, we are to be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Not by the carnal man.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
If you look at, all right. Let me find this, because I'm switching gears now. Hallelujah. Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 5, Verse 19. Jesus said this. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of God can do nothing of himself. He's saying he himself could not do anything out of his soul, out of his own mind, will, and emotions. He had to do everything out of his spirit. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You know how I was taught that? Okay, unless you are led by the Spirit, unless he gives you a rhema word, unless thinking that what rhema word means is God directly speaks to you, he takes a scripture and he speaks that directly to you. Unless he does that, then you don't do it. But that's not the truth. Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Right? Okay. So what many believers say is, the Holy Ghost is not quickening that word to me, not telling me to go to this person to pray for them, not telling me to pray for this sick person, not telling me to go help this person. The Holy Spirit is not telling me to set this captive free. So because he hasn't quickened that word to me, I don't have to go. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. Look at this scripture. Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to make this real simple for you real quick. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That word there is rhema. Okay? There's two different definitions. The rhema word and the logos word. Most people believe the logos is the written word. Right? And the rhema word is the word that God speaks directly to you, right? I'll save you some time, but you should study it. It's not what it means. The meanings of those two words are almost identical. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here's the truth. God takes the logos when we read it, and he makes it rhema to us when we act on that word. This is huge. Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. We do not need a special rhema word from the Holy Ghost for us to pray for the sick. What God is saying is that word will become life to us. It will become rhema to us. It will be part of the fiber of our being when we step into it and do it. That's what he's saying. That the written word becomes logos, becomes rhema, becomes alive, becomes powerful in us when we step into it. When we by faith say, I believe, and I step into it. All that I'm telling you. When you step into that, say, by faith I go. By faith I'll pray. By faith I'll cast out devils. It becomes rhema alive inside of you. It becomes powerful inside of you. As long as someone stays back, it becomes knowledge without power. And they think that because they know something in their head, that they therefore have that something.
No.
We don't have it until we by faith step into it. And then the Holy Ghost takes that word and puts it in the fiber of us. Because that's who you are. What did Jesus do? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Where is Jesus? He's not changed. If by faith we believe, Jesus, you're going to do the same thing through me. You'll do it through my hands. You will speak through my mouth. Then the Holy Spirit will take that word and it becomes rhema to you. Now let me tell you, when it becomes rhema to you, it can never be taken away. It'll never be taken away. It's who you are. Wow. Is that awesome? Out of your mouth. What happens out of your mouth? Give me the answer. We don't live by bread alone. See what he's saying? The life that we live, this resurrected life, this Jesus-style life, this tremendously powerful life, we live by every rhema word that proceeds out of our mouth. And those words don't become rhema to us until we believe and step into it.
Amen.
So you hear the word that we are to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. If you just hear it and you do not step into that, that word remains here. But when you go, you look for somebody that needs prayer. Can I pray for you? You don't even have to see anything happen. Can I pray for you? As soon as you do that, I believe Jesus is going to heal you. As soon as I put my hand on you. Why do I believe that? He's already done it 2,000 years ago. I'm just releasing out of my spirit, out of my belly. I'm releasing that truth. When you do that, the Holy Ghost makes that word rhema in you. He makes it alive in you. He settles it in you. He solidifies it in you. He makes it part of who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, he didn't make it hard. It's only believe. Only believe. Wow. I was in Kenya, and we were at a crusade, an outdoor crusade, and we were gathered together. Some of the pastors and our team were gathered together for prayer before we started. And this woman came up to us, and she was acting very weird. And And the pastors that were with us, they went over to her and they said, No, go. And we said, what are you doing? And they said, she's an insane woman. She's lost her mind. And she will just disrupt things. And I knew in my spirit, that's not the heart of God. How many? We have whole hospitals in America that are filled with people that they say are insane. I'm convinced of something. For a person to come to that position, if they're a Christian, they have to do this. And they have to listen to one lie after another 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 lie, and they live their life just like everybody in the world, and they believe all these lies, and they get shot at constantly. I believe you just get them back to where they belong. And I believe the power of God is so great. So great. That someone that has been declared mentally insane, they have no ability to manage their thoughts. That is not too big for God. Now, I heard that all of my life. There's really nothing we can do for these people. So the crusade started. We had praise and worship. We gave some words of knowledge. Told the people to come. This woman walks right up to me. And I looked her in the eyes. I saw Jesus. And I stood there weeping. I literally saw Jesus. All the other people were praying. It was as if I was the only one there with this woman. Just Jesus, me, and this woman. And I put my hand, can I put my hand on you? I put my hand on her head. And I prayed something like, it's over, you lying devil. You spirit of insanity, get off of her. I command her mind to be restored in Jesus' name. Right now. This is what I saw happen. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. I said, God, never again will I believe the lie that what man says about someone puts them in a place where they're too far to come back. Never again will I believe that lie. Jesus, you are greater than every disease. You are greater than every sickness. You are greater than mental insanity. You're the creator, God. You created her mind in the first place. You can give her a new one. That fast. And he did. That seriously affected me. We went back to that area the following year. And these pastors came with a woman. And they said, do you remember her? She's standing there smiling. I said, I'm sorry, I don't. This is the woman that was insane. And they said, go ahead, tell him. And she said to me, she said immediately, She said, I had all these crazy thoughts going in my head. And they were going so fast and so quick. I could not form my own thoughts. She said, but instantly, it all left. And all I could see was Jesus. She said the next day, I got a job. She said, I'm now married. I want you to see my new baby. What is it that you are thinking that is too hard for God? What is it? How many people have been given up on? God's looking for believing believers. God's looking for those who are His sons and daughters who know they are His sons and daughters and who know they've been given the name of Jesus Christ, married into the family, co-laborers with the Holy Ghost, who know that and are not afraid and understand that great faith is persistent faith. And I'm going to keep praying. How many times I tell the devil, you know what, devil? I don't see this thing moving, but I am not giving up because you are defeated. And I'm going to keep hammering you every day. I don't care if it takes a year. You're going to break your hold and you're coming off. Do you know what happens? Demons come to watch believers. And they watch us pray for problems. And they record. Okay, this one prayed for 3 days and then gave up. We're not moving. Because in the fourth day, we're gonna be victorious over this person. They watch. Okay, this one prayed for a whole month and then gave up. And out of their mouth comes, I guess God doesn't want them well. Okay, we're not moving for 31 days because the 31st day, we got the victory. That's what demons do. And I've determined this. I'm right now in the midst of setting a precedent in my life. I got some things I've been standing for more than 2 years. And I'm going to keep standing. And I'm going to keep believing until the demons mark my name in hell. When you see this guy, you better leave. Because he ain't giving up. He's not backing down. He's not stopping. When you see his name, hey, how many of you, you want your name written there? Huh? You want your name written on that list in hell? It can happen beginning today. Let's set a precedent. Let's set an example. Let's show how, who the one true living God is. Listen, there will be other believers. They will tell you, it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. Give up. Just relax and settle and live that way. You just tell them, I'm sorry. I ain't moving. I'm standing. What does it say in Ephesians? When you wrestle, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and dark places. He said, this is what you do. You stand. And after you've stood, you stand. And after you've stood, you stand. And you don't move. Until you get a reputation in hell. Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Glory to God! Glory to God!
Amen!
Yes, Lord! Why? Why? Because you are here.
You are here.
in.
Sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's where you are. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Even my clothes are going to run away.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have the Holy Ghost. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you.
Hallelujah.
You have Him. I need my sweat rag. Bless the release, Jesus.